city's awesome, so hang on, guys. I want to talk. Part of a lot of people's prayers. Just go ask some friends to come along with you, and some neighbors and everything, and we'll double this thing in size, and we'll have fun with you, okay? Okay? Willing to do that? That's the same look I get out of the adults. So, off the kingdom, kids, please. Purcell, did you mention about going down and seeing decorations?
Oh, not yet.
That's okay. I'm glad you didn't, because now they're gone. I do want to mention to all the ones that behind the scenes preparation up to Friday night, it had been planned for a long time. I met with this ministry. Actually, a couple of the brothers are from, one was from the Providence Road Church of Christ in Charlotte, and I forget where the other one had gone, but how we got led, God led them to us, was, remember Jack and Chris Klein? I know they moved to South Carolina to start a church plant and a new congregation down there, but hang on, it's on. They had heard in discussion trying to find some place in the Hickory area to host a dinner for a bass tournament. And Jack heard the conversation. I guess there's some cases that God would leave people to eavesdrop and that'd be okay. And so when he heard that, he said, you need to give Kevin at the Hickory Church of Christ a call. And we hosted that Friday night. But about 45 bass tournament participants, and with the workers and everything, we had the downstairs pretty full. We're looking to use this facility that God's blessed us with more and more for events and doing different things and stuff, and just to be able to say, and they were very thankful because they saw Kristen's decorations, and thank you, Kristen, for all the time. And then all the ladies that put the food together and everything, the guy said that, hey, when we have this thing again, they're going to want to come back because we spoiled them with the desserts that you brought and stuff like that. So I'm very thankful that we had that opportunity, and I was able to speak to them about the relationship that Jesus had with fishermen. And so that was really fun to do. To do that with them. So I thank you for that. In preparation for this morning, I just thought maybe we would talk about wisdom. Now, I don't know how many people lack wisdom. Anybody want to admit here you lack it? So since we need it, there's actually some passages that we can look at of how to gain wisdom from Scripture. At least what steps do we need to take in order to be led by God and be given this wisdom from God? It'll be God's wisdom, not ours. Because if you lead on your own wisdom and your own understanding, we're going to continue to fall way, way short of what God intended. But I have to admit, in preparation for this lesson, I had to cry on the first illustration that I found. Anybody here have ever heard of the Darwin Awards? Anybody heard of that? It's not about the creation or anything like that, but the Darwin Awards are given each year to people who really make foolish decisions in their life. Let me give you an illustration. In April of 2004, Alfred, age 63, of Brushy Fork, West Virginia, had trouble with termites at his home. So he had heard, because if you know West Virginia, they have hollows. They have hollows. Not hollows, it's hollows. They got hollows. The hollow hopping that I did in college was you go from one top of the hill to the next top of the hill, but they had a lot of oil roads through because people on their hand had oil drilled, and then they would run a natural gas line to their home. Well, Alfred heard that natural gas was dangerous, and with the wisdom that he was thinking, he figured out what would be good and be low cost of way to get rid of the termites in his home would be to fumigate his home with the natural gas. So he shut all the doors and the windows, and then he turned on the gas and spent the night in a nearby camping trailer with his wife. The next morning, he stepped out of the trailer and he took a breath of the crisp, cool air of the mountains of West Virginia and strode over to the home. When he opened the door, a slight spark from the latched door ignited the cloud of natural gas that accumulated in the home. The force of the explosion blew him off the porch into a nearby creek, knocked out the town's telephone and electricity, blew the doors off of a nearby church building. It rattled windows and nerves for 6 miles away, and Alfred was evacuated by helicopter with severe burns to the burn unit at the Cabell Huntington Hospital. And his house was uninsured. But it was in the paper the next morning rendered and presumed that the fumigation was effective. I cried. Now, to have to speak about it, not all West Virginia people practice that type of wisdom. Because I found another Darwin winner, and he's from Italy. His name is Fabio. I don't believe he was the model, but he left his family ostrich business for a new job as a truck driver. But his interest was more than the average ostrich farming truck driver. Well, relaxing with one evening with his friends, Fabio shifted the conversation to his new interest in spy gadgets. He pulled an ordinary-looking pin out of his pocket and explained how he has now designed it into a single-shot pistol. To demonstrate it, he pointed it at his head and then clicked the button. Well, the cleverly disguised gadget worked perfectly, but sent him with a .22 caliber bullet in his left lobe to the hospital. Wow. Wisdom. How do we gain it? How do we receive it? It's not that these people set out to injure themselves, but they evaluated their interest and their need, and they made a discernment to act upon it. And we need wisdom to be able to live in this world. But we need not a worldly wisdom, we need a godly wisdom in order to be able to make it. And I'm afraid that these guys had not taken the advantage of God's promise. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, God promised this: if any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given. So for those who admit this morning you at times lack godly wisdom, and you want to gain godly wisdom, then ask God for it. And he's not going to look at your past and say, yeah, but you foolishly made this decision. You've done this, you've done that. That's not the way that I do it. He just ungrudgingly will leave that alone and give you the wisdom if you would seek for it and ask him for it. But what is godly wisdom? So before I get to the definitions, I think we need to understand what wisdom is not. Wisdom is not intelligence. If you're just thinking here saying, well, the only way I can get godly wisdom is that I have to be a high intellect person, that is not true. You can gain godly wisdom even if you feel like you lack some intelligence. So wisdom is not intelligence. And I'm sorry to hear this one. Wisdom is not age. Godly wisdom can come to teenagers, young adults, anybody of all ages, if sought for and asked for. And wisdom is not wealth. How many of you know a very successful worldly person with finances make some of the most foolish decisions? If you know them, then wisdom is not about how much wealth you have. So, what is godly wisdom? Proverbs chapter 2 in verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now you get to that, there's an and there. That's the same thing that we've been preaching about. Baptism is being born of water and the Spirit. Lead the Spirit out of the water, you get wet. Godly wisdom comes from getting to know who God is and the decisions that he makes. And it comes from his mouth. And then we have understanding. Knowledge and wisdom and understanding equal wisdom. You got to understand, what perspective did God say that? Why did he want these things to happen? Why does he call for obedience? Why does he want us to abstain from certain things? Why does he want to get sin out of our life? You have to look at it in what God says those things are for. Now, I didn't put this in your notes as blank, so you can just put this to the side. To define godly wisdom would mean this. It's the ability to see life from God's perspective. You got to look at life through God's eyes. That's godly wisdom. It's the ability to discern what is true and right and lasting and then make action accordingly. Find out from God what is true, what is right, what is lasting. Remember, he challenges us through Jesus, don't put all your effort towards things of this world that's going to rust and decay. Put it towards eternal things. Store up your treasures in heaven. find out what treasure is, and then act accordingly so that you can have your treasure in heaven. And then be committed to seeing and living as God desires for you to see and live. The book of Proverbs makes it clear that wisdom is something that we should not only pursue, but we have a promise from God that He, if we are willing, He will make us wise. He promises that. Now, from the New Living Translations in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, he says this: "Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in public square. She calls out to the crowds along the main street and to those in front of the city hall. 'You simpletons,' she cries, 'how long will you go on being simple-minded? How long will you be mockers, or the mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools fight the facts? Come here and listen to me. I'll pour out the spirit of wisdom upon you and make you wise.'" That's God's promise. We all want and should want and desire to pursue to be people who become more wise, making wise choices. So there's a question before us: how do I become a wise person? Now, in this world today, I thought this was kind of interesting. You know how some people don't like the, and I understand, God's spirit. God's not gender. God's not either male nor female. He's God. He's a spirit. But in the Bible, it's described as He. Well, did you hear what it said wisdom is? She. So be proud of that. All right? Now, how do I become a wise person? I need to stress, first of all, how humbling it is to talk to you this morning on the subject, because I need it so much. God's still continuing to work on me, and He keeps asking me to pursue wisdom. There's some I've acquired from Him, but I've got a long way to go. And I wonder how many people here can say the same thing. But here's some truths that you can write down in your notes of how do I become a godly, wise person. First of all, number one is to understand wisdom's value. See, what you value is what you'll spend your effort in. If you value wisdom and making godly decisions, you'll seek godly wisdom. If I truly value something, I will do whatever it takes to bring it into my possession. Now, if you don't value wisdom, nothing I say, nothing what God says in His Word is going to make a difference to you. You'll read and read and read. You'll gain knowledge, but then if you don't pursue it any further than that, you won't understand. And wisdom comes from knowledge and understanding. But if you understand the value of wisdom, you will start acting upon these things right away. Proverbs 3 says this: "Happy is the person who finds wisdom and gains understanding. For the profit of wisdom is better than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left." Proverbs 3, 13 through 16. Do you know when most people decide to, what happens when most people decide to pursue wisdom? It was after we discover that we're making foolish choices, one right after another. is mostly when people start deciding, maybe I need to start rethinking what I'm doing. Because my decisions are getting me in all kind of messes. Most of us don't even begin to place the appropriate value on wisdom until we've made fools of ourselves time and time again. So understand wisdom's value, why you should seek for it. Number two, have a healthy fear of God. Let me give you a quick illustration I found with this one. There's a cab driver in L.A. His name is Hader. And what he didn't notice is that when he picked up a fella to take him to the airport to fly out, yet he drove away. And then after being so far away from the airport that he noticed that there was a zippered pouch that the passenger forgot on the floorboard right next to the seat. And so he stopped, he got out, he opened up this pouch, and it was filled with 100 diamonds at the value of $350,000. Okay, now Hader was 40 years old, father of two, and his wife was pregnant, and he's a taxi driver. Can you imagine the temptation that it would be to say that you found no pouch and that you took the diamonds and took the value of them to be able to help your family? Anybody see how tempting that would be? So what he did is he put the diamonds back in the pouch, drove to the airport, got a hold of the airport police. They called out the name of the passenger, and he came to claim it, validated it with the papers that he had, that it was his, and they gave it back to the rightful owner. And when Hader was asked, why did you do that when you could have got away with it? He said, well, he come to realize he would have gotten away with nothing. Because God is watching. And I fear him. Now it's a healthy fear. It's a healthy fear to know that God knows what you're doing when nobody else is around. It's a healthy fear to know that God knows what you're thinking without ever saying a word. We need to fear the Lord. Actually, there is a proverb that says, wisdom begins with fearing him. But that's not this scared runaway fear. It's a healthy fear to realize God knows what is happening. God knows what is happening within me. Fear the Lord is that beginning. Proverbs 9:10. Now, there's another one that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 10. Do not fear those who can kill your body. Don't fear the ones that are out here that could shoot you and you will die over the shooting. What you need to fear, a healthy fear, is the one that can destroy your body and your soul in hell. That's what you should fear. It'll cause you to react to say, I don't want to rely on my foolish decisions. I don't want to rely on my worldly wisdom, so I'm going to pursue God's. You know, it's interesting that Proverbs writer says that fear is that beginning point. if we want to be wise, we first must recognize that God's real, that he watches over us, and that God is over all, and he's all powerful, and that he is our creator. And we need to acknowledge every single day that he is God and we are not. God, you're God. I am not. Watch over me today. If my thoughts wayward to be my own thoughts, if my actions become more selfish and foolish, I want to know. I want to seek your wisdom, and then I want to act upon with my decisions. Until we really understand the reality of God's presence, both in our world and in our lives. That's what I'm afraid what we've done, brothers and sisters, is we open up Scripture, we read it for knowledge, but we don't seek understanding for our own lives. We read it to say God lived back then, and we don't realize he's living now. And he's watching over us. And he is our creator. And he's God, and I'm not. It really comes down to the concept of reverence of him. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. He's the one that's awesome. Now, I can do some awesome things if I do his things through me. I was talking to the fishermen the other night. Talked to them about how, you know, it's really cool about trophies. You know, and how everybody wanted there, they admitted they would love to catch the state record largemouth bass this weekend. You get your name in the paper, get your name in the record book, and all that stuff. Probably would mount that rascal, spend a lot of money on mounting that rascal. Have bragging rights over who caught it. I told him about my dad's trophy. Told him about Dad when I was around 8 years old. Boy, I made a lot of foolish decisions at 8 years old. Took me fishing. We trout fished. If we caught a bass, it was by accident. So we went to Wolf Run State Park in Ohio and was catching fish, and we had caught a lot of trout. Had a stringer full. I think there was eight hooks on one. We had one stringer full of eight trout. And then it was time for us to leave, and Dad says, well, I'm getting a tug on my line. Just wait a little bit, one more, and we'll bring it in. He brings in one of the largest largemouth bass I've ever seen, witnessed live. Boy, my dad was proud of that largemouth bass. Then he did a foolish thing. He put it on a single stringer and gave it to me. And I learned real quick, you secure the stringer before you put the fish that's on the stringer in the water. Because 2 minutes later, that fish was swimming with my dad's stringer in his mouth, yet to be seen, still in the lake. I thought my dad was going to lay into me. But I remember him saying one thing. My dad had a lot of faults, but I really thank God for this. He said, son, I hope you learned from that, but you're more of a trophy to me than that fish is. I talked about Harry Campbell Friday night. Because Jesus went and said, hey, fishermen of fish, you come and follow me, and I'll teach you how to fish for people. I had to learn that. I'd fish every day if you'd asked me to go. I would fish every weekend if I had time to do it. But I never will forget one of the most prized trophies that I could ever brag God about was Harry Campbell. 70 years old, Carolina, West Virginia, population 600, two doors up, dying of leukemia, had alcoholism in his past, had gambling in his past, and yet he thought God never would love him enough to forgive him of those things, and God decided to send me two doors up to study with him, to watch Mountaineer football with him, to become friends with him, to the point to where he was led to the forgiveness of Jesus, and he was baptized into Christ. And when I did his funeral, all I could say is, there's my trophy. That's my trophy. I could have all these trophies on the wall. But my trophy, because Jesus said, let me teach you how to fish for people. There's some trophies waiting on us, church. And it's going to take wisdom to know, and it's going to take understanding to know. And it's not going to take our belly aching and our grumbling and all of our excuses of why we can't. What it's going to take is seeing life through God's eyes and seeing people. So, number three, seek wise counsel. Fools think they need no advice, but the wise listen to other people. The problem is until we recognize that this is true, we'll remain fools. Let me get real and practical for just a second here. We all need someone, and perhaps several people, who can go to, we can go to and to receive wise counsel from. I have probably a list. It may not be a long list, but I have a little short list that I believe of some brothers in Christ that I can call to seek wise counsel. And everybody that's a Christian and a follower here should have somebody that they would seek wise counsel from. Because as you pursue wisdom, we need to hear wisdom of others who've put into practice that wisdom of God. Whoever lives with the wise will become wise. Whoever walks with fools will suffer harm. Proverbs 13. Get all the advice and instruction that you can and be wise the rest of your life. Proverbs 19. In fact, why not read Proverbs each day? See what kind of wisdom that you can find in that book. God leaves it up to you to spend your life acting like a fool or growing towards wisdom. It's entirely your decision. Make the right one. God will supply the resources if you'll supply the willingness to act. And then the last one, we got to learn wisdom with humility. More and more as I look through Scripture and see what a godly person looks like, humility always shows up. Always. Pride leads to disgrace, Proverbs 11:2. But with humility comes wisdom. It's only when I admit that I'm broken that I can actually start being healed. It's when you can say to God, I'm not all that I can be, and I'm not all that I should be, but I desire nothing more than to have you show me the way. That is when wisdom will begin to flow through your life and in the lives of those that you influence. So we're going to leave at this one. Here's our conclusion. You know what? I never want to be one of the people listed on the Darwin Awards. I don't want to be one of those people who lives their life in foolishness. when all the time God is waiting to pour out his wisdom into my life. If I would just only ask for it and seek for it. If you need to respond in any way, I know how to get 100 responses. All foolish people respond this morning. Okay? Or anybody who's ever made a foolish choice. But if you're sitting there thinking like, I don't know if God's going to forgive me of these things, God is ready to forgive and he's ready to give wisdom. And he wants you to respond to that. Are you looking for yourself or are you seeking to live with him? Are you finding out